You're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me.
Lord, make that the prayer of our heart. You're all together wonderful to me, to each of us. Impress upon us, Lord, how much you love us. Bless Pastor Steve as he brings this message to us this morning. Help us to apply it to our lives, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen, gentlemen. Thank you for leading us this morning. As we are back in this space, I thought it would be a good idea to do a little theological refresher. Maybe for the first time for some of you, or a refresher for some of you. And I want to start with a phrase that I think can help us a lot. And it's this, that what you believe about God shapes everything about you. And at first glance, a phrase like this sounds kind of like, okay, I kind of believe that in theory, or I think about that. But what you believe about God shapes everything about you. It doesn't just shape you on the good days or the great days, but especially when life is hard. Those moments when you're hurting or anxious or overwhelmed, what you believe about God will shape and drive all things in you. Your thoughts, your steps, your emotions even, all those things. Because it's in those difficult moments, those hard moments, where what you believe actually is tested. We have a lot of different ways of saying that, like putting our feet to the fire. It's in those hard moments where what we think we believe actually gets tested. What we believe about God shapes our identity. It actually tells us who we are. It shapes our morality. It shapes our behavior. It shapes our relationships. It shapes our immediate future. And it shapes our eternity. What you believe about God shapes everything about you. And what we're going to talk about today and over the next four Sundays is a creed, a particular creed. And no, I'm not talking about Creed from the Office TV show, or Apollo Creed for you old Rocky fans, or you newer Creed fans from Michael B. Jordan, or some of you old music fans, Creed the band. No, we're not talking about any of those creeds, no matter how cool or maybe even semi-important some of those things are. No, we're going to explore the Apostles' Creed. And the Apostles' Creed, far from just being a ritual or a system of belief or doctrine, what I think the Apostles' Creed really can be for us is a strong declaration of faith. The Apostles' Creed has been heard in both cathedrals and in prisons. It has been shouted from the streets, and it has been whispered quietly from Christians who were facing death because of their faith in Jesus. And whether you have ever heard the creed before, or whether you know it by heart because you grew up with it, it always begins with this: I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And there's actually a bunch of different little variations of the wording, but in essence, all of the versions of the Apostles' Creed start like this: I believe. And the whole thing has inspired so much music and art through the centuries. Lots of different connections to this. And yes, these words are old. Some of the most ancient Christian writings apart from the Bible that exist, maybe as old as the second or third century. And yet these ancient words still help today, help us to state what we believe about God. This creed is about more than just reciting or memorizing a few words. It was formed in ancient, turbulent times, a time of moral confusion and cultural compromise, when early Christians were pulled left and right, and they felt like they were being torn apart. And in this time, these few words acted to form a firm spiritual foundation that actually has stood the test of time for generations of believers. And it is a foundation not based on your opinion. It is not based on your preferences. It is not based on TikTok trends or whatever feels good in the moment. This is a spiritual foundation built on the timeless truth of the one true God. More than a repeated ritual, this creed can be a personal declaration of your faith. Your faith in God in a way that can help shape and steer your life. Now, I know that some of you are very familiar with it because maybe you learned it as a child, or you were in school and it was taught, or maybe forced upon you, or recited in certain church traditions every single Sunday. And there may be those of you that are thinking, my church never did that. Both have existed at the same time, a variety of church traditions. But wherever you are on the knowledge or familiarity scale of the Apostles' Creed, one thing holds true. It's generally and broadly accepted as the oldest, most concise declaration of Christian faith. And anything that can unite Christians across all different wings of the church through almost two millennia sounds like a firm foundation to me. Despite its name, it was not written by the apostles themselves, but rather developed over time based on their teachings and the writings that we have from the Bible. It did not come about in one little bit, but in bits, and it's kind of hard to determine all the history because it was so long ago. But between the second and fifth centuries, it started to form or be formed into this particular creed that we know as the Apostles' Creed. This creed came about because early Christians needed something solid so that they could resist persecution from the government. When the Bible was banned, they needed things to overcome internal divisions amongst Christians, and they also needed something that could combat false teachings. We know in a lot of Paul's letters in the New Testament, that was one of the things that came up right away. There's something about the name of Jesus that has always attracted both the needy and those who would seek to exploit the name of Jesus. This creed helped unify and strengthen early believers around core beliefs, essential doctrines of Christian faith. That's why I titled this Words to Shape Your Life, because in a little more than 100 words, it's less than a minute to say, and these words can begin to make an eternal difference in your life. I have a few slides in case you're not familiar with the full text. I want to just read it this morning in its entirety, and we're just going to focus on the very first bit of it. The Apostles' Creed begins with that most important phrase. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick, or the living, and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Some of you know that by heart. Maybe it was drummed into you a long time ago. You're laughing, but I know. Those of you that even in various evangelical traditions, maybe you had a catechism or a, I don't know, we called it a discipleship curriculum, confirmation. And this was one of the things that we were taught and had to memorize. This creed that begins with, I believe, in the original Latin, the word is credo, from which we get words like credibility, which have that element of trust and belief and faith, something that you can count on. Notice it says, I believe, and not we believe, even though we believe is also true. It says, I believe, because it is something that you must say and decide what you believe. It is not what your person sitting next to you believes. It is not what your parents believe. It is not what your children believe. It is not what your friends believe. It is what you have come to decide you believe. This is a strong personal statement of belief. It's not about personal preferences, as I said, or opinions or feelings, because all of those things in us can change over time. All of those things can flex or grow or even harden in good and bad ways. The creed is not a buffet that we get to pick and choose. Oh, I like this line, but I don't like that line so much. No, it is a one-size-fits-all statement of belief. There's a lot of things that the Apostles' Creed is not, but one thing it is a set of eternal truths that will define your life. It starts with, I believe in God, but the very next words actually define God in very particular ways. I believe in God, who? The Father Almighty. Now, you might not think, why, you know, or believe, why do we have to get so specific so fast? Well, this is necessary. It was necessary back then for a lot of the reasons that I mentioned to combat a lot of false teaching. And I believe it's necessary today because everyone, whether they will admit it or not, believes in something. I might even say believes in a God, little g. If you ask anyone or most people, do you believe, you will get a range of responses. Well, I believe in a higher power, a force. May the force be with you. Or a concept like, I believe if you do good, good will come to you. If you do bad, bad will come to you. Or some people say, oh, I believe in good vibes. I mean, we are in California. I believe in you do you. Or maybe some of people would even say that they believe in Cher's line, do you believe in life after love? Some of you get the reference. Others of you are like, whew. And if you are a Dallas Cowboys fan, for all of you football folks out there, you will say every year, I believe that this is our year. And then you will be sadly disappointed. Good luck with that. I'm sure there's a lot of teams that applies to as well. The point is that just about everybody believes in something. But this particular creed is not a belief in a vague idea or principle, but a belief in the God who has revealed himself in the Word and through the Spirit. This is a belief that is both personal and incredibly powerful. I believe in both God who is Father, that's a relational word, it's a familial word, in God the Father Almighty, that's a word of power and grandeur and bigness. I don't even know if that's a word. I just made it up. Not that other word. I believe in God who is both Father and is Almighty, and these are two important images that the Bible will use over and over again. In fact, Jesus himself knew that this image of Father was so important that this is how he taught his first disciples to pray, clearly. He says in Matthew 6, "This then is how you should pray." There's a lot of things that Jesus could have said, but he says, no, this then is how you are to pray. Our Father in heaven, our Father, hallowed be your name. This is what he taught his first followers, the way to pray to help orient their lives to God. We might not think about it much today, but in Jesus' day, even a simple statement like this was pretty revolutionary, countercultural even. Some might even have said, ooh, this is downright heretical. Many would have seen Jesus' teachings as heretical because the dominant religions and systems of that day had portrayed gods or had gods who were distant, absent, cruel, far away from us, not concerned with humanity, and they were always impossible to please. Jesus, however, introduced a completely new, radical way. That the God of the Bible is none of those things that I mentioned, but rather is a close, loving, perfect Father. I have to pause for just a second because I acknowledge that for some of you, this image of Father is so painful. It isn't comfortable for everyone because not every earthly father is good or great or even present. But the Bible reveals and uses this image as a standard or ideal that far surpasses any human example in our own lives. Any human example that we might experience, both the good and the not so good. For some of you, if your father was absent, the Bible says God is always present. If your father was harsh, the Bible says God is compassionate. If your father was distant, the Bible says God the Father is close. If you could not please your father for anything, the Bible says God delights in you. He is a heavenly father who will never leave or forsake you. When you draw near to this father, he draws near to you. Not only is God the Father, who knows you by name, but we also say that we believe in God the Father Almighty. We need that second bit as well. The Almighty who rules the universe with all authority. In Latin, the word is omnipotentem. Omnipotent, I'll say it in English. Latin's a dead language anyways. Omnipotent, this is who God is. That means having absolute power and supreme authority. He is unrivaled, uncontested, unlimited in all creation, time, and existence. So yes, the God who knows you personally as Father is also all of that as well. All encompassing. We need both of these images together. The closeness relationally, and also the grandness, the greatness of God Almighty. Omnipotent. What does this mean for you and me? This means that when you declare your belief, just as the Apostles' Creed begins, that you believe in the one for whom there is no problem too big, there is no person too broken, there is no plan too unlikely, and there is no scheme that he cannot stop dead in its tracks. And that's just scratching the surface. We could go page after page through the Bible and come up with more and more and more examples. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of what? Heaven and earth. For us today, this might not be very controversial, but for early Christians, it was definitely controversial. I said earlier that this creed was developed to combat false teaching, and one of those false teachings was this belief that God had imparted some kind of secret knowledge to some people. And that God, there was this higher God that was only concerned about the spiritual things, and there was this lower God that had created all the material stuff, and so the world and all that we can see must be evil. And this creed says, no, God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. As long as Jesus has been on earth, and every moment since, there have always been people seeking to find the angles, trying to take or seize power and control and advantage. It is these timeless words that have developed over time to combat these types of teachings, to combat heresies and anything else that sought to confuse and misdirect people seeking God the Father Almighty. The Apostle John, we know John. We've looked at the Gospel of John before. The Gospel of John, he felt it was so important that that's how he started his gospel account. John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. We read these words, we've read them before. Sometimes we don't even think about it. But when John first wrote this, this was a shot across the bow for all who said, I'm not sure if that's how it all worked out. John's like, no, this is how it is. So as we end just the very beginning of this Apostles' Creed today, we again ask the question, what then do you believe? Because what you believe about God will shape everything about you, both inside and out. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And from that bold yet simple and humble expression, all those other elements of belief can flow from that. We're going to look at the rest of the creed over the next 3 weeks, but I thought this was a good place to start and remind ourselves of who and what we believe in. Amen? All right, let's pray. God, I thank you that you, in your wisdom, allowed people to learn not just from your Son, but from those first apostles, that your Spirit inspired them to write down what they had learned and how they had applied that learning, and then in future generations to really seek to nail down what is the essence of what and who we believe in. God, I pray that for each person here that this might be more than just words on a piece of paper or on a slide, but that they might be a declaration of belief in you, the one who is above all others, the one who is holy and perfect and both great and good. God, we thank you for your word. I ask that you would bless your church today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear these words as we prepare to go. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed Trinity, you are the maker of all things visible and invisible, the Savior of all near and far. By your Spirit, enable us, we pray, so to worship your majesty with all the company of heaven, that we may magnify your glorious name, saying, holy, 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 glory be to you, O Lord Most High. Amen and amen. Church, go now in peace to love and serve God and one another.
Amen.
Amen. I'll see you next week.